we sang a prayer that the Spirit of God would descend upon our heart and wean it from earth through all its pulses move. That he would stoop to our weakness, mighty as he is, and make us love him more. Make us love him as we ought to love. Message this evening is a simple one, yet it's very profound and very deep and very life-changing. I invite you to turn with me to John chapter 10. The title of the message tonight is Jesus, Our Good Shepherd. The meetings this week, we gather together each night. We want to exalt the name of Jesus. We want to exalt Jesus Christ. Were it not for his work and not for his death and resurrection, where would we be tonight? There would be no purpose in living. We would not be here. But he was faithful in doing the will of the Father. And he is the high and lofty one. He is the Lamb of God. He is our good shepherd. I'd like to read John chapter 10, verses 1 to 18 at this time, and then we'd like to look at some thoughts of the sheep and the shepherd. The burden of this message tonight is this: have you found the good shepherd? Do you hear his voice? Are you in relationship with him? Loved ones tonight, there are many voices. There are many voices. And I don't know how it is with you, but the way it is with me is that it's just the age I am, not that old, just 47. But it seems to me that there's a multiplicity of voices today calling for our attention. And there are casualties. There are sheep that are being cast. Do you know what a cast sheep is? A cast sheep is a sheep that is lying on its back with its legs in the air. And a sheep in that position will die within minutes, they tell us, unless the shepherd or someone helps it to right itself. Oh, tonight, would it be? Oh, tonight, may none of us be a cast sheep. May none of us be one who is listening to an uncertain sound or an uncertain voice. Let's read John chapter 10, verses 1 to 18. Jesus speaking, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. We'll stop reading there. Real revival comes through a heart change by the working of the Holy Spirit in one's life. The forces of evil pressing upon us is strong, but the power through Jesus Christ is stronger still. There is no power equal. He is all powerful. He is the good shepherd. The forces of evil pressing upon us come from various sides. A sheep without a shepherd is in a dangerous position. A sheep without a shepherd is in a dangerous position. Close to our house, there is a farm. And there, I just noticed it today. I went by the pasture, and there were a lot of sheep in that pasture. Most of them were together in a flock feeding. I don't know how many there was. There must have been at least 100. There was a lot of them. But as I drove by, I noticed that way down off to the side, there was just a few of them. Not with the flock, but they were down, separated, down by themselves. I don't know what they were doing down there. But you know, they weren't in with the others. They were off to the side. Off to the side. Isaiah 53 of verse 6 tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep have gone astray. None of us tonight are good enough, aside from the work of Jesus Christ. None of us are good enough to enter the heaven's fold or to enter the fold of a right relationship with God, where none of us are good enough in ourselves. Romans 5:19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Tonight I would like to just impress upon us the gift of Jesus Christ. The gift that God has given through us through the work of Jesus Christ. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And we'll notice that in just a bit. Man is a sinner by birth and becomes a saint by choice. A sinner by birth and becomes a saint by choice. I don't know how many of you are shepherds tonight and how many of you have sheep. When I was growing up, we had just a few sheep. I believe it was three of them at one point. And sheep are they have no defense mechanism of their own. They can't defend themselves, really. Well, the rams might have horns, and they might buck. But a sheep, when you grab it and hold on to it, it soon gives up. When you want to shear it, you lay it on its back, and it soon lays there, and you can shear it. They depend on the care of the shepherd. Tonight, the same is true for us. On our own, we are helpless. We depend own the shepherd. Our good shepherd. Some of the characteristics of the sheep. Sheep are helpless, as I mentioned. They're helpless in themselves. I talked about the cast sheep earlier. They are easily overtaken by predators, chased down, and the wolves come, it says here in our passage, and they come to destroy. Sheep depend on the shepherd for protection. They depend on him for provision, and they depend on him for direction. Also, sheep form a relationship with a faithful shepherd. They form a relationship. They know his voice. When the shepherd goes out into the field and the sheep are grazing, and it may be a foggy morning. I saw a picture of this. So a foggy morning, and the sheep were out in the fog. And the shepherd came, and he had feed with him. And he came, and he called out. And almost instantly, you heard the baying of the sheep through the fog. They heard his voice, and they came, and they come running to the shepherd. They knew his voice. They have a relationship with him. I think sometimes the struggles that I have in my life come down to the fact that I am resisting laying my all on the Good Shepherd. I'm resisting, and I'm holding back from myself. Jesus, our Good Shepherd. You know, one of the hardest places to be in life is where you are not sure what to do next. And you are scared to take the next move. But we can trust our shepherd. We can trust our shepherd, and by faith we trust him and we take the next step, and he leads us on. We'd like to look now at Jesus, our good shepherd. Number of points. First of all, he is the good shepherd. There is no other shepherd. There is no other name under heaven whereby we can be saved. There is no other shepherd that will give us the care and direction and provision that Jesus Christ will give. He is the good shepherd. He is the perfect one. He is the good shepherd. You see, the hireling flees when he sees the wolf coming. Now, Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. Yes, there are under shepherds, not compared at all to Jesus Christ. But oftentimes a message like this is preached to leaders, to pastors and deacons and leaders. Loved ones tonight, I'll just say this here. Your leaders want to be good shepherds. But there are times in leadership, and this is just a little side note, but there are times in leadership where something needs to be done, some direction needs to be given, and you tremble at it. And I've already had this verse come to my mind. It says, the hireling flees because he is a hireling. Where we tremble at approaching, we tremble at addressing the need. It must be done. But we tremble. Loved ones, tonight, if your leadership needs to address something, be thankful for godly leaders. The Good Shepherd, the Good Shepherd. Number two, Jesus is the door of the sheep. He is the door, he says. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. A door is the place you need to pass through to gain access to where you are going. We all came through a door tonight into the building. If we try to get into heaven, or we try to get into the kingdom of God, the church, the body of believers, through any other way than through the work of Jesus Christ, it is of no avail. He is the door. Access into the fold is realized only through belief and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Perhaps sometimes we are struggling with victory in our life, but the real crux of the matter is that we're not ready to surrender. There's one door, and it's through Jesus. Entrance through Jesus. Through the way of Jesus. It brings me to the next point, and that is that Jesus, our Good Shepherd, is the provider of life. And I have life capitalized. He is the provider of life, true living. This word life, well, the word abundantly, is a provider of life. Verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That word abundantly means superabundant. It means superior, beyond measure. How many of you tonight feel that your life that you're living, the Christian life, the Christian experience that you have with Jesus, is superabundant? It is life. How many of you are there in that? How many of you feel that way about your Christian life? We must be real that the Christian life is a struggle too. The Christian life is not all easy. Struggle is good, provided that we win through Jesus. Struggle is good, but a life that's more abundant. Can men tell, and women tell, by how you're living throughout the day, as you interact and as you work and as you play? Can they tell that you are one who has found Jesus, the Good Shepherd? Can they tell by what you say, by how you live, when things go wrong? Can they tell that you have found the Good Shepherd? He gives them life, and it's more than just living. It's abundant life. There is heartache and pain. As I mentioned before, this abundant life is only made real to us through brokenness and yieldedness to the will of the shepherd. You see, think of Jesus, our great shepherd. He was in the garden, and his friends that were the closest to him were there in the garden with him. And he went a little further, And if you picture with me that vision, that picture in the garden, Jesus, the perfect God-man, he walks a little further and he kneels down and he prays. But behind him here, his close friends fall asleep. But he prays and he says, Father, I will that this cup, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And he says, nevertheless, not thy will, not my will, but thine be done. Surrendered brokenness. You see, abundant life comes through brokenness and surrender. At a heart level. A willingness to be led is essential in finding fulfillment. Fullness in the Christian life comes through a rich faith in the provisions of Jesus Christ. As I was struggling with the youth many, many years ago, the pastor said this, and it resonated with me, and maybe it will with you tonight. But he said, a richness of faith can only be developed out of a tremendous burden of guilt. What that simply means is that there are times in our life where we are convicted of sin and we feel so guilty. So much so that we're almost crushed beneath that load. But the provision of the Good Shepherd, and that's bringing me to the next point, which is the Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The provision of the Good Shepherd is that as we by faith reach out and grasp the provision of forgiveness, the provision for we grasp out of repentance by faith. You see, it takes faith to believe that Jesus can forgive your sin, right? It takes faith to believe that. When we've met the conditions, of course. The shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus gave his life. He was obedient to the will of the Father and gave his life for man. As I mentioned before. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. I preached a sermon last Sunday at our congregation on Mark chapter 10. And I talked about Jesus giving his life a ransom. And I also talked about him paying the price. And a brother later asked me about that. And he said, you know, he said, sometimes our thinking is faulty on this idea of the price. Jesus, through his work, satisfied. He didn't pay a price. He didn't satisfy a debt. He satisfied requirements of a holy God. You see, and I appreciated the brother's comments to me because it helped me in my thinking. And we know what we mean when we say that. Yes, we do. But there is a difference. You think about paying a price means that there's a value over here. If it's $5,000, you pay a price of $5,000 and you paid the price. If there's a debt of 5,000 over here, you satisfy that debt. It means that there was some kind of worth over here. In ourselves, in our human nature, outside of Jesus Christ, we really are worth nothing. But Jesus came and he satisfied through his perfect, sinless life and his death, he satisfied the requirements so that man can again live in peace with God. And we can be fellow heirs with him. He saves us from the wrath of God by meeting the requirements. And that requirement was a sinless, innocent blood. He satisfied that requirement. Moving on, Ephesians 2 and verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The next point, the good shepherd knows his sheep. This speaks of relationship. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The shepherd built a relationship with his sheep through working with them. His sheep hear his voice and respond to his call, and he works with them. Psalm 23 says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He works with them. He goes before them and leads them out. He builds a relationship with them. You know, Jesus, our good shepherd, wants to have a relationship with you. Do you want to have a relationship with him? Do you read your Bible and pray every day? If you skip reading your Bible, do you feel like something's missing? We really should. He wants a relationship with his sheep. Jesus knows our trials. He knows our strengths and he knows our weaknesses. He knows them. Last point, the good shepherd is a seeking shepherd. Picture with me a shepherd bringing his sheep into the fold. Night is falling and it's getting cloudy. The storm is brewing. And he's desperate. He's anxious to get the sheep into the fold. And they're passing under his rod and he's looking at them and he's counting them. And he gets to 99 and that's the last one and there's one missing. He has 100 sheep and there's one missing. But the lightning is starting to strike. And he goes. The good shepherd goes. He leaves the 99 safely in the fold. And he goes out into the mountains in search of the sheep that is lost. It might be a cast sheep. Do you know that there was a shepherd who rescued a lamb from the mouth of a lion and a bear? My Bible says so. And it's real. It's true. Shepherd by the name of David. A lion and a bear. Got one of the lambs. And he killed the lion. Is that risking your life for the sheep? Well, it sure is. But even much more, has Jesus not only risked his life, he gave his life, voluntarily gave his life And this good shepherd, Jesus, is a seeking shepherd. Tonight he's seeking again. He says, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. Them also I must bring." He is a seeking shepherd. The Jews had rejected Christ, and the way of salvation was open to the Gentiles. To become part of the fold, it's open to you and I tonight. To become part of the kingdom of God, salvation is open for all. There is none who will be rejected by God who has met the conditions for salvation. Repentance, confession, and brokenness before him. He is a seeking shepherd. Tonight, Jesus Christ is calling. He is seeking sheep. He is seeking men and women to come into his fold. He desires a relationship. Have you found the good shepherd? Matthew 18, I'd like you to turn there with me to read verses 11 to 14, just a few pages back. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. And so forth. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them has gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountain and seeketh that which has gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more over that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Do you read what that says? Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. It is not the Father's will tonight that any of us should perish. It is his will that we would be saved. But he does not force that will on anyone. It is a choice. And oh, tonight our hearts grieve. Our hearts grieve at the choices that we see people making sometimes when they blatantly say, you know what? I will sometime, but not now. There may never be another sometime. The Father, the Good Shepherd, is a seeking shepherd. Heaven rejoices when a sheep comes home. Tonight, I'd like to give an invitation. We'd like to sing just a verse or two of invitation. Have you found the Good Shepherd? Have you responded to his voice, given your heart to him? And are you living in victory? Or tonight, Maybe you have never responded to the voice of the shepherd. Tonight is your opportunity to do that. Perhaps you have responded, but you wandered off down in the corner by yourself. And you're down there and something has happened and you're lying in a position that in yourself you cannot get up. The invitation is for you as well tonight. What shall we sing?